Hey, everybody, welcome to Big Jim's Garage. I'm your host, Big Jim O'Brien. Coming to you from sunny and cold Detroit. It's February, or as we like to call it here in the Motor City, February. Hopefully it's warmer where you're listening right now. Racing season, man, it's underway. I told you we'd be getting into this. IndyCar testing down a Coda with the new visor looked good. Of course, Daytona 500, F1 liveries, the cars are being unveiled, the different colors and stuff. Good looking colors over in F1 too. But Daytona, obviously the big story. But what's interesting is when you talk Daytona to me, there's people behind the scenes that I'd like to hopefully introduce you to. We can talk to some of the drivers. Matt Yoakam's a great friend of the show. He works at Fox, give you some insight. But Tim Cindric, if you're into racing, you may know the name. You've heard it before. They refer to him as the strategist for Penske Racing and stuff. But Tim is much more than that. He's now really technically the president of Penske Racing. And we got him on the phone here before Daytona. Tim, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, buddy. How you doing? It's Jim O'Brien up at CSX in Detroit. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yes, sir.
I was watching Joey, and after watching the Bush clash, it's this thing that's going on between mechanical versus aero downforce. So when we see these cars getting loose, Tim, when they pull out, is that the lack of mechanical downforce that we're seeing?
No, I think it's a combination. Really, when they run by themselves, obviously you don't really have much problem in a place like Daytona with the banking and the rest of it. But when you get the turbulence involved and the wake off the car in front of you and the side draft and the combination, all those different things, sometimes you can't really predict what's going to happen. So I think it's more of an aero attribute, but you're also trying to balance, and you see it in qualifying, what you're going to run for a setup in terms of how much downforce you're going to have aerodynamically. So
right.
Certainly an aerodynamic trade-off rather than a mechanic one in a place like Daytona.
So when we were watching some of the blocking, do you have any concerns about, is it blocking or just good racing, what we're seeing?
Well, I think as the horsepower comes down, the plate races, and you see it at these 550 races now that we're running less horsepower at those places, that it's a natural transition. It's something that you have momentum, and right now I think what you'll see at Daytona and what they're experiencing right now is getting used to, I guess, a better draft, if you want to call it that, with the rear spoiler. So the runs that you get behind you are much bigger than maybe what they were in the past couple of years. And predicting, how to stop that momentum is part of the game. And it's become an accepted part of the game up until the point until it happens to you. So it's racing.
Well, we always talk about like the super speedways, Tim, that, so much of the drivers, what they're doing is driving looking behind them. I mean, looking in the mirror to where they're at. That probably becomes even more important with this new package until you get a really good handle on it.
Well, I think at the end of the day, the spotter really has the most influence because the driver can't see really more than one car behind him for the most part, but the spotter can see, an entire line forming and that type of thing. So, when you go back in the day when racing didn't have spotters, it was probably more dangerous. So there's a trade-off there, but also that the drivers themselves didn't have, number one, they had more horsepower and more fall off. And, you're fighting those different things where you saw in the clash where a lot of the guys, did two tires and still ran the entire race on those two tires. So, without a doubt, you are driving in your mirrors to a certain extent at a place like that. And, that's what that type of racing has become to keep the speeds under control.
So I don't remember who it was. Somebody was tweeting out that they were the one of the common complaints is that the drivers feel so safe in these cars today that they're willing to risk moves that they normally wouldn't do and that they don't care about the car itself because they make so much money or they don't have to pay for it. Do you put any validity in that, or is that just someone complaining to complain?
Well, I think it's, everybody's going to have their own opinion about those different things, but I think that, for whatever reason, there's those that think that, but then there's also the facts. And the facts are that all forms of racing have become safer. It's just part of the evolution. And I think you'll hear that to a certain extent in any of those forms of racing. But at the end of the day, everybody wants to execute. Everybody wants to succeed. And, you may not hear about it publicly or whatever else, but, it's never good for anybody when you're tearing up equipment. And there is always a risk. And I think that's you know, that's why racing has always been popular to certain people, because it does have a danger factor. So I don't think they discount that. And, you know, Jimmy Johnson was down at the IndyCar test, you know, at COTA 2 days ago, and we're standing around the rain, and it's interesting to sit there and listen to Newgarden and Power and El McLaughlin from you know, V8 Supercars, asking Jimmy about, you know, whether it hurts more to hit the side door or hit head on, and you know, we got soft walls now, and you got all these anti-intrusion bars and all this other stuff that they didn't used to have. But it still hurts.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy will tell you what happened there with Clash. You know, he said that one really hurt. So it's not as simple as maybe that quote there that you read is maybe portrayed.
Okay. Yeah. You know, but you may not know this, but people on social media try to use a little bit of hyperbole. Shocking.
Yeah. Fortunately, I didn't have to grow up that way, but it's part of life now.
So how were the car? I know the weather didn't cooperate at COTA, but still getting some lap time and I love the cockpit, the canopy look to the cars. It looks really good, especially now that it's a little more focused in on the car.
Yeah, it takes a little getting used to. You know, I think when you put the smaller wings on it, it looks bigger as far as the canopy. So when you see them run at Indy, it's a different look, without a doubt. But, yeah, I think it's part of the evolution. Racing continues to evolve, you know, I think somebody said it before, you know, it becomes a new norm, and it's, you know, the first time you see it and first time you look at it, there's always those that don't embrace change. But if, you know, if you don't change, then you get past or certain things stand still. So, you know, hopefully I think without a doubt, it'll increase your odds, you know, of you know, maybe missing the big one in some ways. But I think also, you know, it helps the drivers, you know, look at IndyCar racing more as a viable thing, because it is very different. And we had Brad Keselowski go out and test at Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin a few years ago, and he had never been in an open cockpit car. And, yeah, you forget how different it would be for someone that's always been, you know, always had a windshield in front of them to go to a place like Elkhart Lake and go that fast and just, you know, have your head in the wind. And then we take a kid, you know, Scott McLaughlin, who had never driven an open wheel car either, you know, only a go-kart, and we put him in the car at Sebring with a canopy, and he's like, yeah, I can see the tires, but that's about the only difference, you know, because he doesn't have any of that effect. So it was an interesting difference in transition.
I remember Joseph said when he was here that it sounded, it was the lack of noise that threw him off. Not so much the having the canopy around him, but just, he goes, it was kind of quiet. It was very weird.
Yeah. Yeah, there's certainly some of that. And you know, to see the IndyCar drivers with cooling tubes going to the top of their helmet, it's a little different for sure. When you see a helmet sitting on the counter or whatever else, you know, you instantly think, oh, that's a stock car driver or whatever else. But now it all kind of comes together in different ways.
So talking to Jimmy, do you think he's going to come play at Indy in 2021, or you think he'll come out and do it?
I think he's always had the desire to try it. You know, we've talked on and off over the years, and he's always, you know, he's an ambitious guy when you see his fitness and everything else. And, you know, I think he has the bug to get in and try one. And, you know, whether that's at the Indy 500 or Sebring, I'm not sure. You know, that's a whole different discussion. But we talked about it a lot yesterday, and he's like, look, I'd love to try this. This looks really cool. You know, I've lived this other world, and everybody needs a little bit of something different over time. So he's got a big year in front of him. So I think he wanted to get out while he can and just kind of see what the world's all about. And, you know, with it raining there, he had a chance to spend a lot of time with a lot of people, which was pretty cool for those in that paddock.
Could you guys accommodate Alonso with Penske for Indy? Not that would, no. But could you do it?
Well, anything's possible, but, you know, I think we certainly, Roger and I, have the philosophy that adding more than one car to your fleet, your full-time fleet, is a dilution and a distraction. You can do it, but it's very hard to do it properly and look at all the other people in your team and say you have the same chance you would have had to win that race before we added that car. And, you know, we'll typically we'll run one car sometimes as an extra car, which, you know, with the depth that we have in our organization, we can do that without bringing in a bunch of part-time people or diluting the teams around them. So adding an extra car there, really, we don't feel would increase our chances to win. We actually feel like it might dilute our efforts. As good as Alonso is, that's really not our priority.
Huh. And then so at Daytona on Sunday, Tim Sindrick with us, president of Penske Racing. Are we going to see more manufacturer type? Are we going to see the Fords line up and the Chevys line up?
Well, it's all part of that racing because you got to have friends. You know, you don't put yourself in a position to win if you know, guys – leave you hanging. So yeah, it's hard because they're all competitive. I think that anybody that tells you that's, you know, not what the initial plan is for anybody, I think that's probably not quite the facts. But as the race unfolds, it's easier said than done to make all that happen. And certainly coming down to the checker or whatever else, you know, it becomes an every man for himself to a certain degree.
What's the old Mike Tyson said it best? He said, everybody has a game plan until they get punched in the face.
That's right.
Right? I mean, when
That's
you get right. out there and something happens and you're saying, oh, it's on now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bit of that. But, yeah, it's certainly, because of the form of racing, it's certainly more prevalent than it used to be.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I enjoyed the Busch Clash. I mean, or the Busch Crash. That's what I kept calling it. But, of course, we got some racing tonight and then on Sunday as well. It just feels like it's such a great time for racing in North America right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a balance between you know, the technical side of it and entertainment. And, you know, I think that the neat thing about a lot of the series now is there's, you know, so much diversity in terms of types of tracks and the different talents that you have to be a champion. So it's a good time in motorsport to a certain degree, but you know, everybody reflects on the good old days. But then it's a balance of, when you look at the good old days, sometimes in any form, you look at the margin of victory, how many people were on the lead lap, and you know, how many people really had a chance to win. And it's not, the numbers aren't as impressive as maybe what some of them think about the old days. When you look at the number of people you feel like can win. You know?
Yeah, I looked up a race once, and I don't remember where it was, but it was Petty and Pearson were like six laps up on everybody else. They were in their own little world.
Those were the good old days, right?
Yeah, they was like, that's the good old days. I'm like, no, it's not.
So, but there's a great aspect to it all. But, yeah, certainly a lot of respect for what those guys did back in the day, because there's no doubt that the level of danger in all forms of motorsport was so much higher for these drivers. But it still exists.
Tim Sindrick, president of Penske Racing. So, you know, congratulations on everything. And I'm bringing my uncle from California. He has one thing on his bucket list. He's 80 years old, and he wants to go to Indy. So we're going to fly him out, and I'm going to drive down and meet him there.
That's awesome stuff. That's what that place is all about.
And it, I mean, that's, and he's like, he goes, is it awesome? I'm like, is it awesome? You can't even, you can't comprehend what it's like until you're there.
Yeah. The appreciation for tradition, you know, anybody that appreciates tradition, independent of motorsport or whatever else, that's the place to be.
All right. Tim, you're the best, man. I always appreciate the time. You always make me think about stuff, too. Enjoy the busy weekend and racing season. You are back to work full time.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Told you. Interesting guy, man. Tim Sindrick, president of Penske Racing. Curious to see how his role changes now that Penske bought the Indy Racing League. As far as IndyCar goes, he bought IndyCar. Does Tim become the guy when it comes to racing for Penske, and Penske kind of gets out of the box, if you will? You know, I sincerely doubt you're going to see Roger Penske. In fact, I know he's not going to be on the pit wall and stuff for some of the IndyCar races. All right. That was fun, man. Lots to get to. So much automotive news flying all over the place, man. Did you guys see the new Escalade, too? We mentioned that at our last podcast. I've been looking at it more and more. Love that thing. Waiting for the new Bronco to come out. And then there was this talk about a four-door Mustang. I don't know. We may have to talk to some folks from Ford about that in the coming weeks here. As always, subscribe. Anything on B-Pod Studios you can follow. Follow us on iTunes. Wherever you get us, Spotify, you name it, right there. You'll see Big Jim's Garage as well. Plenty to come. Enjoy the racing. It is back, man, in full swing. Lots to get to. And, of course, you can always hit me up at WCSXGym. You guys, be well. Have a great day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.